How do I find draft value this year? What players are going to outperform where they're currently being drafted? You know, I have an ESPN league and I don't know who to target in each round. Don't worry, guys. Alex and I are going to break down all of the current ESPN ADPs by round and tell you which guys in each round are going to vastly outperform where they're currently being drafted and get you the value that you're looking for. With that, let's go.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Sackos Podcast with your hosts, Jason Shellcross and Alex Krogh.
Let's go! Fantasy Football Sackos, episode 23.
Greatest of all time.
The greatest of all time. That's, there you go. Jason Shellcross, Alex Krogh, back again for another episode of the Fantasy Football Sackos. We got a fun episode coming. We're going to be evaluating ESPN average draft positions, and we're going to tell you guys who the biggest value is right now in each round. Basically, this is the secret sauce that we're putting out. This is the Sacco sauce. Well, this is who I think we're probably going to end up targeting in each round, because these are guys that we think will vastly outperform the people being drafted around and in front of them. And this is, again, these are current today ESPN average draft positions. I think we're also going to do this for Yahoo. Mad respect to Yahoo. You know, they have completely different ADPs and rankings. So it's going to be fun. Alex, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. How you been, buddy? It's been a couple days.
I hope that it's more fun than our last episode was, because picking 12th nearly broke me. We had our highest downloaded day ever 2 days ago. We had our second highest download day ever today. And I made a complete idiot out of myself.
Oh, you're being too hard on yourself.
No, it was bad. That was one where I was listening to it back and I just hated myself. I was like, this guy's a jagoff. Like, who would listen to this guy about fantasy football? And here we go. We're here.
You had a great team. I mean, it can always come out worse, right?
Well, that was the thing. It's like, hey, I could have taken Miles Sanders in the second round, but then it comes up that he's hurt and week to week, which nobody wants to hear. Also, I said Bart Scott last episode instead of Boston Scott, and didn't even think to say, can't wait.
Don't worry. Our social media coordinator, if you follow us on Instagram and Twitter, has been blowing up the Bart Scott can't wait meme. So in your
thanks,
honor.
Friend. Thank you to that person. I'll give him a raise. Yeah, but yeah, no, things are good. How
from
are you?
Zero pennies to zero pennies.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You're good.
I'm doing good, man. Just really coming off a little bit of a high. We had a spike in downloads, obviously, as you know, yesterday and again today. So thank you to everybody that is listening, finding value in what we're doing. And if you haven't yet, please, obviously continue to listen, like and subscribe on whatever platform you're on. If you're on YouTube, hit the bell so you can get those updates for when we release new goodness for you.
The season starts in 3 weeks.
I know.
And there's five people on the COVID list.
Literally,
across the league. This could not be going better. Honestly.
It's going to happen. Like, this is going to happen.
Yeah, it is.
Continuing.
Like a month or two ago, I've been like, I would be shocked if this happens. And so far, like, so damn good. Makes
absolutely
me happy.
Right. All right, let's get into these ADPs in a brand new segment we're calling
AD.
Please me.
Oh yeah, is that the best drop you've ever heard, or is it the best drop you've ever heard?
Who I don't want to ask who that was, but man. Good for whoever that guy is.
Yeah, right. Somebody's a lucky man. Our paid voice actors, man. That was a husband wife combo. All right. Let's get into this. So talking through these rounds, we're just going to be telling you who we think is the biggest value currently being drafted in each round. I mean, obviously round one, that's a little tough. I mean, there's really not going to be a whole lot of value in current ADPs. These are the best of the best at all of the positions. However, guys that I think could potentially be a value here, I would say if the concerns of Dalvin Cook, like if he stays healthy for a full season, he's going, I think, will outperform the sixth overall current ADP.
Which he never has.
Fair enough.
But
he's not, but he's not a 10-year running back. He's not an 8-year running back. He's, you know, like a 3-year running back. So just saying. The Alvin Kamara.
That's the thing. You just, you can't miss in the first round. That's the biggest thing. You just can't miss.
Yeah. Right. So I think he's potentially one person that could outperform his current, low sixth overall ADP. I think Zeke is going to have a really good year. He's going third overall. But I mean, how do you draft him ahead of Christian McCaffrey and Saquon? Like, that's hard to do for a lot of people. And then, I mean, currently the back half of the first round, it's virtually all receivers and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I mean, personally, I don't think that there's really much of any value in current ADP there, because if I'm in the second half of the first round, unless Michael Thomas is there, I'm still going running back. So I don't really think that any of those receivers going at the end of one right now are a value.
Yeah, you've really talked me into that. I do appreciate it. The Derrick Henry thing, I am interested to see kind of what happens with him. Yeah, and the only reason I say that is because he's not a pass catcher and he just got paid.
Honestly think that the payment thing like really matters?
If your job started paying you four times or five times as much as you were previously making, would you care as much?
I mean, yeah, but to be in the NFL, aren't you already like, don't you already have to care at like an elite level? I don't know. That's just,
yes, but like millions and millions, like what, a 4-year, $50 million contract, I believe is what, like, I'm pretty sure $50 million would change you. I'm just saying, like, especially at the running back position where you just take a beating. And I know he is generally the one that's giving out beatings, but it just, for me, that offense does, like, for whatever reason, if they do let Tannehill throw more during the regular season, trying to save Derrick Henry for the end, I think Derrick Henry might be, you know, again, one of those fantasy football playoff studs and maybe lay a little low during the season. That's just my concern, is that I think they might try to save him for later in the year and not ride him quite as hard to keep him fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, he's, that offense funnels through him, you know, I mean, he sets up what Tannehill does in the passing game, but yeah. All right.
Just wanted to mention it. Like, it's one of those guys where you're looking, his average pick is 8.1, currently the seventh ranked player. And it's one of those things where it's just like, just for some reason, it's just just because he can't catch.
So now that we've talked about how really, like, there's really not a whole lot of extreme value. I mean, really what that means is there's so much more value to us in round two. And let's get into some of these round two guys that we think are a huge value right now. To me, above and beyond, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else in round two is Josh Jacobs. If you haven't been to our website yet, thefantasyfootballsackos.com, I did a write-up on why Josh Jacobs is going to be the ultimate draft value this season if his current 24th overall ADP holds. It's just extreme value for somebody that I think has like easily top 10 running back potential, if not top six. He's come out and said that his goal is to get 60 receptions this season. I think it's totally doable personally. I'm really excited to see what he puts together. I mean, he was on pace. I mean, he played half of his games with a fractured shoulder. He was on pace. If he played all 16 games, he was on pace for more than, 13 or 1400 yards. And the only two running backs that got that amount last year, were what? One was Derrick Henry. Like, I mean, it's just unbelievable the type of production that he was.
I think it was him and Nick Chubb, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was him and Chubb. And so, I mean, he was third in the league in breakaway runs and he only played in 13 games. He was ninth in the league in yards created. He created more than 450 yards on his own. He was eighth in broken tackle. Like, he's top 10 in all of these characters and top 10 in all of these categories. And he played half of his games with a broken freaking shoulder. Like, you gotta be kidding me. And now, yeah. And then you lose Deion Washington to Kansas City. I am so high on Josh Jacobs. Like, and we talked about it a little bit in the last episode when we were mocking. If I have like one of the top four or five picks, like, I'm not going to take Josh Jacobs there, obviously. Like, I'm going to take, you know, any one of the top consensus four to five running backs. But if I can get Josh Jacobs in round two, oh my goodness, look out for that team.
Yeah. And the people that are going in front of him. So the other running backs currently on ESPN from an ADP perspective, Nick Chubb is 15th. Aaron Jones is 17th. Yeah. Miles Sanders, who's now hurt, is 18th. And I'm guessing that'll drop a little bit.
Chubb's concussed right now.
Yep. Kenyon Drake is 19th. Austin Eckler is 22nd and Josh Jacobs is 24th. I'm pretty sure that you like Josh Jacobs more than all of those guys. You know,
yeah.
If you're looking for more like specific details on some of these guys, like, please check out our archives for some of our positional rankings, because we kind of go a lot more in depth than we're planning on going to today. But it's just like Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt is basically the same player and you get him a bunch of rounds later. Aaron Jones, we've talked about touchdown dependency. And I mean, my God, have you seen AJ Dillon's legs?
They're my God, Quadzilla, man. Like,
they are tree stalks.
If you think Aaron Jones is going to get the goal line carries, sweetheart, you got another thing coming. Like, bless your heart, man. Aaron Jones will still be on the field, though, I think, especially with maybe. If Devontae can't stay healthy, and he had a tweak yesterday and missed practice today. So we might be seeing Aaron Jones, the receiver.
Kenyon Drake is fine. I'm not as high on him as you are. But I still think the middle of the second round value is pretty solid for him.
Extreme. Actually.
Yeah, it's good. Austin Eckler going at 22nd. We've talked about how potentially if those receptions do stay up, you know, I think this is fine value for him actually at the end of the second round, not in the first round where, you know, or end of the first round, beginning of the second round. But if you can get him towards the end of the second round, like, you're doing really well. So, just like, clearly Josh Jacobs is the guy there. But like, Mahomes is going 13th in drafts. Like, that's insane. And
his ADP of 13th and Lamar's going at 14. Like,
yeah, that's too high. But other than that, like, I don't know. I'm kind of digging the second round, especially the back half of the second round where George Kittle's sitting there. You know, after talking through our tight ends, I think we might have both moved Kittle up to the number one tight end spot over Kelsey, especially with Debo Samuel not being around the first 6 to 8 weeks. The number one wide receiver in that offense. So the back half of the second round, 22 is Eckler, 23 is Kittle, 24 is Jacobs. Like, if you're looking at those three guys plus CMC, Saquon, or Zeke, like, oh my God. Like, you're off to a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're looking for a wide receiver, I love Godwin's current value there too. Like, that's very nice at 20th. All right. My second round target is Josh Jacobs. Like, honestly, I'm probably going to draft him in the back half of the first if I'm drafting there. But in case I'm drafting top five or six overall, like, I think my second round target is Josh Jacobs, followed by maybe Lamar. But
yep.
Moving on to round three, our extremely AD pleasing player who we think is the most valued or most undervalued and is most likely to outperform his current ADP is Juju Smith-Schuster. Currently being drafted 30th overall, we have him ranked as our consensus 19th overall player. Crazy value there. Why do you like Juju so much?
I mean, you have to just go back to 2 years ago. I mean, there was nothing to like last year. We've highlighted Juju pretty extensively. Just if Ben Roethlisberger stays healthy, that offense is just going to be a lot better. And that's like Juju Smith-Schuster. We were talking about going in like the back half of the first round or early second round last year.
He was a consensus top five receiver going into last season's drafts. And now he's being drafted in the middle of the third round. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, like just sign me up. I would love to get him here. I mean, Kenny Golladay going 26th, who we have as a top five wide receiver or top six wide receiver, I think, this year.
Huge value there.
Right. Going at the beginning of the third round is crazy. And then, I mean, my guy, Leonard Fournette, I don't know if you saw this or not, but he taped $100 bill on his pads in practice because his goal is to have 100 yards rushing in every game. For those of you at home, if he stays healthy, that would be 1600 yards. And, if he
that's like you taping a nickel on your back because you want to have five touchdowns a game. Like the $100 bill does not mean anything to good old Lenny Fournette.
Are you saying a nickel matters to me?
I'm saying proportionally, I think that you would be fine if you lost a nickel. Like, I think Lenny's going to be fine if he drops a $100 bill on the ground.
Okay, that's fine. I would just like to say that I think Leonard Fournette is a dime this year. And somebody that you want on your team. Because he's going to have 1,600 yards rushing. Because
how do I recover?
My guy will do it. I mean, I'm just let me bask in the glory of Leonard Fournette being great. And like, we're going to be like 5 weeks into the season and he's going to have like 650 yards. And I'm just going to like strut into the podcast every week and be like, hey, did you see my guy Leo?
Yeah, 650 yards and one touchdown. Like, all right. If other running back value in the third round that we're seeing right now is Chris Carson currently being drafted behind Todd Gurley. Why is Chris Carson being drafted behind Todd Gurley?
I mean, he is coming off of a torn ACL. Like that's the concern.
He had a hip injury.
Oh, I thought it was ACL.
No, Carson had a hip injury.
Okay. Well, is that
Penny,
better?
Penny had the ACL that was more than an ACL.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like in his last 2 years, Chris Carson, like everybody just thinks he gets hurt all the time. Chris Carson, his last 2 years, he's played just as many games as Saquon has, and Saquon's going in the top three. Like he's gonna be a three down back. I'm not worried about Carlos Hyde. What's he on his like third or fourth team in 5 or 6 years? I mean, come on, man. Like, this is the Chris Carson show. He's gonna be a three down back, and Pete Carroll doesn't give a crap about a fumble. Like, Carson clearly led the league in fumbles last year, and good old Pete Carroll didn't give one crap about it. Like, kept feeding him. I mean, eventually Penny kind of split carries because of it, but like Penny's not there and they're not putting in Carlos Hyde. At least.
Yeah, hip strain or hip fracture for Chris Carson at the end of last year.
There you go. See, we got this. Between the two of us, man, we're going places.
On your back.
There you go. So to me, in the third round, if you're looking for a running back and Joe Mixon's gone, who's going at the beginning of the third round, currently going 25th overall, I think you're looking Chris Carson or Leonard Fournette. And then if they're gone, you're looking for Gurley. Gurley's currently going in front of both of them. And then wide receiver value.
Or like Juju. James Conner, like who's going in round five currently.
Yeah,
like,
he's our target. Like, he's our value in round five. Like, spoiler alert.
Yeah, but like even like a, you know, a James Conner going in front of Todd Gurley or in front of just some of these other guys that we're going to talk about in the next round is just you should be.
I was going to say, let's get through round four and then let's get back to James Conner's value.
Yeah, the person that we think has the worst value in round three, just to talk about him real quick, is Odell, just because people keep going on potential from 2 years ago.
They're going off the name.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody trusts Baker Mayfield yet because
he's being drafted 36th overall. Him and Landry have the same stat line.
Yeah. And if we're really being honest, is there that big of a difference between Mitch Trubisky and Baker Mayfield at this point? I don't think there is. And so
I don't know which one you're insulting more there.
I'll leave that up to the listeners. but yeah, I think Odell's due for some craziness because he kept it in check last year. And so if he's not getting the damn ball, to quote Keyshawn Johnson, I think you might see some explosions coming from that wide receiver group in Cleveland.
Yep. Round four. Our most AD pleasing, God, I love that. Our most AD pleasing players.
Say that you'll please me.
Are the Rams boys, Cooper Kupp and Bobby Trees, Robert Woods. Currently both being drafted back to back as the last two picks of the fourth round. Guys currently going ahead of them are Mark Andrews at tight end. I mean, or like Calvin, if you want to say at receiver, receivers being drafted ahead of both of them are like Calvin Ridley. No thanks. Tyler Lockett. No thanks. Like extreme value for, I think, guys that are going to have like probably end up as fringe wide receiver ones, if not wide receiver ones.
Yep. Yeah. We have them ranked wide receiver 12, wide receiver 13. Going in round four. So, you know, to your point, if you're starting running back early, or running back, wide receiver, running back, or whatever, like you can wait on the wide receivers because they're all hanging out here.
There's so much wide receiver value in these rounds. I don't know. There's not really a whole lot of running back value here. I mean, maybe our one running back who we think is really going to outperform his current ADP in this round is David Johnson, currently going at 40th overall.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah, right. I mean, if he's healthy and a three down back, he will finish higher than the 40th overall player. Like that's, I think, a foregone conclusion. It's just, is he healthy and will he stay healthy? The guy looks like he's in incredible shape. Which is encouraging, and I'm hopeful. And if you do end up drafting him there, he would be a huge value if that is the case.
It is best shape of their life season with training camp now in session, where all these guys are coming in the best shape of their lives. So you can go ahead and mark that one down in pen. Just some things that I'd like to highlight from a not so pleasing perspective. First of all, this is just absurd. Deshaun Watson is going 37th, which is disgusting. Don't do that. Russell Wilson's going 44. You can keep that one too. I mean, he's really good, but you don't need to be taking, you know, quarterbacks 3 and 4 in the fourth round. You can wait. Dak Prescott's already gone too, I think, right? So I just don't like any value going in here from a quarterback perspective. And then Mark Andrews at 41, we have him ranked at 67. Like we both like Mark Andrews quite a bit, but it just seems early. You know, Zach Ertz went round 3. On Sleeper, you got Zach Ertz in round 5. So, you know, people pull the trigger on tight ends randomly, honestly. If they've got two running backs and a wide receiver through the first three rounds, like they'll be like, oh, who's the best tight end available? And I think that's might be what happening with Mark Andrews going this early.
Yeah, I feel like invariably what happens generally, like with tight ends, if I mean, you kind of have to get Ertz traditionally the last few years in the first half of the second round. So like, you know, 15, 20 picks are going to or more are going to go by before you get or, you know, the chance to draft him in the third. And so Ertz is gone usually. But generally, like, yeah, like what you're saying with tight ends, you know, people, I feel like it's always like the four picks near the turn end up with the premium tight ends because they're like they see three to four like receivers that they're OK with. Like, oh, I'll just take a tight end now. And then I know one of those guys will be there waiting for me or that, you know, the ADP game. So,
yep.
You win, you lose.
Do you want to talk about Calvin Ridley at all going in the end of the fourth round before Cooper Kupp and before Robert Woods?
Yeah. I mean, he has the potential to finish there, but I mean, a lot of things have to go the same way for him as happened last year, and his health has to be more consistent. I mean, he was put on IR to finish the season. But he's a second year receiver. He had several amazing games after they traded Mosanu, outscored Julio in a majority of those games. It's just a matter of, I mean, a different coordinator. Yes, it is Dirk Koetter, who they were extremely successful with before. I mean, however, there's just so many more unknowns, I guess. And in the first four rounds, I'm really trying to mitigate risk, and I would much rather have the built-in targets and yards for Robert Woods than the potential for Calvin Ridley to finish higher than them. And so, again, I'm really trying to mitigate risk in those first four rounds. So give me all of the Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods action. And until Calvin Ridley does it and stays healthy, okay. Like, they didn't have a running game or any running backs last season. They had, what was it? If you go back to our bounce back and breakout podcast, you can hear me talk about Todd Gurley being a potential comeback player of the year. And then I think we even made it like its own freestanding highlight video on YouTube as well. So we talk about like how devastated the Atlanta Falcons were by injury. And then not only that, but then you like, so assuming health, especially along the offensive line, and then you also add a real running back in Todd Gurley. Like, the guy handled a workload that was comparable, like a decent size. It was like 220 some odd carries last season, which is a decent workload. And he didn't have any health issues. They just limited his touches early in the season. And so if you have a comparable running game and a defense that isn't marred with injuries, you're theoretically like ahead in games or potentially trying to close them out instead of being down every game because you can't run the ball, you're one dimensional, and your defense, like half of them are on IR. So you throw the ball 686 times last year, and it's not a mystery that your second receiver on your team finishes where he did. And they were still so disappointed with the team that they fired the OC. Like, I'm just saying, there were a lot of interesting circumstances surrounding why Calvin Ridley finished where he did. And I don't want to try and hope that Ridley has a similar season when I know Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are going to do what they're going to do. Like, he shouldn't be there is, you know, it's just, I'll never take it. I won't take him. I think he's going to have a great season and has the potential to finish as a top, you know, a top, a wide receiver two or better. Yep. And I don't doubt that he'll have wide receiver 1 weeks, but man, I'm not taking him ahead of those guys.
Nope. Yeah. 93 targets last year. Just no thanks.
The Godwin hype, man, that's what it is, right? Everybody saw what Godwin did when he was hyped up last season. He came through, and now it's like, Ridley's the guy. It's like, all right, well.
Yeah, Julio's still there and his 157 targets and 1,400 yards. And
Yeah.
So averaging, just no thanks.
Yeah. No way. Top
right,
two.
You've always talked to the last podcast. You want to draft players that can exceed their position, not drafting them at a potentially ceiling spot.
Yeah, right.
You know, so like Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the third round a couple weeks ago before Damian Williams went out was, hey, this is great value. You could do a lot better than that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the end of the first round is like, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still taking Josh Jacobs probably ahead of him, but I mean, I don't know. That's close. That's, to me, that's really close. The Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Clyde Edwards-Helaire conversation is, and you could probably throw Drake in, like those four guys. I'm going to be ecstatic if I get any of them. And then our quarterbacks in that round are the lowest value because our quarterbacks are pretty much like, if there's a quarterback going in any of these rounds, he's invariably among our like worst value, because at that point it's like, if you don't get, to me, the philosophy is the same for tight end and quarterback, which is like, if you don't get one of the top two or three guys, then you might as well wait till double digit rounds to get whoever you're going to get. Like,
yeah. And I will say, so I misspoke earlier when I thought Dak already went, because I can't believe that Deshaun Watson is going full round and a half before Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Dak's going 53rd overall. He's going in the middle of the fifth round, and he was last year's what? Quarterback two. And he's going in the fifth. That might be.
Like if there's quarterback value, I think it's that one. But at the same time, like from our consensus, like we have Dak ranked at 54 overall and he's going 53rd. Like there's not that much perceived value in that spot just from the way we have him ranked. But he's going quarterback five and we have him ranked at quarterback three.
Yeah. Yeah. That says a lot, though, if our quarterback three is currently being drafted in ESPN, like where the world thinks.
Yeah, he's going quarterback six. Yeah, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray are all going before Dak. And then obviously Mahomes and Lamar early. So, yeah, quarterback six.
Yeah, crazy. And there would have to be something catastrophic for him to finish that low in a Mike McCarthy system.
I agree.
Especially with that schedule.
I saw a picture of Drew Brees at training camp today and he looked old.
Yeah. Well, he is. Yeah.
Just a heads up for Michael Thomas people drafting him. Drew Brees he looked really old. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Moving on to round five. Players that 80 please me. Our real round five value, it's one guy that is being drafted here that absolutely does, like, should not. It's a travesty. And that is James Conner currently being drafted at 54th overall. He's being penalized for being oft injured, to put it nicely, and also for the catastrophe that was last season. It's like it's the Pittsburgh Steelers discount, man. Like, I'm not, if James Conner is there in the fourth, I'm drafting him in the fourth. If he's there in the third, like he should be going at least in the third, or maybe the front half of the fourth. Like he should not be there in the middle of the fifth round. That's obscene value for what James Conner will do if he's healthy for 16 games and Big Ben.
And I would just like to mention too, and I'm not saying he's Le'Veon Bell, but when Lev Bell was in a contract year with the Steelers, they've like ruined him by, you know, using
300 some odd carries.
Like they used him in the passing game. Clearly they used him in the running game. And James Conner's in a contract year. So if they do the same thing with James Conner that they did with Lev Bell a couple years ago, like James Conner is going to be an RB1. If he gets a similar workload. So for him going in round five is just outrageous, considering we have him valued basically as a second round running back.
Yeah, and they have the ninth rated offensive line on Pro Football Focus. Like, they have a stout line. They get Ben back. Like, why? Oh, man. Can you imagine
a great defense that's going to put them in good field position? Like, their offense is going to score. Provided Ben stays healthy, like why would you not want a running back on a top, I would say 10 offense, top 12 offense?
Yeah. Like let's walk through your potential team. Like you could draft, like, I don't care. You could draft Zeke. You get Josh Jacobs in the second round. Okay. And then you can get Juju in the third as your wide receiver one, couple him with Bobby Woods, and then grab James Conner as your flex. What?
Yeah, or, I would love to be in an ESPN league that's actually drafting like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like instead of if you don't want Juju in the third, say you just get Ertz because you don't want to miss out on tight end. There's so much wide receiver value in round six that we're going to talk about. And seven, I mean, I'm just, oh man, I love it. I'm so pumped to draft this year.
Yeah, potential players we're down on a little bit in round five would include Rob Gronkowski.
Gross.
So here's my thing, though. I've always loved having Gronk on my team. Like, there's just something so fun-loving about the guy. He's a former WWE 24/7 champion. He has the Gronk spike. He's still with Tom Brady. He was quoted as saying taking last year off was like having three off seasons. Apparently he's in great shape.
Just like a time thing because the off season's like 3 to 4 months. And so it's like three of them because four times three is 12. So 12 months is a three, you know, 1 year's three off seasons.
Like, math has not been our strong suit, but I think you nailed that.
Did he just do the math? Cause it was literally three times as long. Oh,
he's Gronk. Not wrong.
No, he's not. But he's like, he's also like, come on, man, let's just start a beach party or something. Be productive.
And plus I've always sent text messages to my family league that just says Gronk in all caps with like 10 exclamation points every time he scores a touchdown. So like, there's always just, yeah. Oh yeah. There's always just been part of me that has loved Gronk just because it's fun to talk shit when he's on your team and he scores a touchdown.
There's part of Alex that's always been obnoxious.
Absolutely. And people listening to this get it. But him going at 58 in the fifth round is just kind of crazy because we don't know what he's going to do. But if he's I would love for him to be great and throw it back to 3 or 4 years ago. I would just love every bit of that. And part of it too is just to like tell Bill Belichick that like, hey, we don't need you and we can ball out without you and you know, just stay out of my way and let me have fun.
There you go. All right. Other players we think are potentially being drafted too high there. I mean, the highest one after Gronk is Kyler Murray. Again, it's like I'm drafting Kyler Murray is going 50th right now, which is ahead of James Conner at 54. Like, no, first off, number two, Kyler Murray is also being drafted ahead of Dak. Like, no, come on, guys. Like, so I understand the hype. But he also had the most sacks credited to a quarterback last season. And it was more than 20. Like, come on. Okay. DeAndre
Hopkins. Kyler Murray could also have three 1,000-yard receivers with Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk.
I would love to make that a board bet of some kind. I don't think you're willing to do it, though. At least I would hope you're not.
No, I don't think I am, but like CeeDee Lamb has come out and said that the Cowboys' goal is to have 3,000-yard receivers in their offense as well.
Well, they had two last year.
Right. So, I mean, that's just another reason why we're loving Dak, especially with McCarthy, who finally has more than one wide receiver in an offense at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on around. Let's get to round six. There's so much running back value right now in round six. Like, these guys don't belong here. Mark Ingram, David Montgomery, and Raheem Mostert are currently all going in round six. Mark Ingram, you're paying the J.K. Dobbins penalty, I think, there. And Raheem Mostert, you're playing the Kyle Shanahan's, like, penalty there.
You loved those last year. You were all in on
Wyatt Coleman. Like, he came back. It's like second or third game back. He had like four touchdowns in the first half. I was like, oh, I got an RB1 overall. Like, not RB1. And then he did nothing. However, like, everybody forgets, like, they went away. Yes, Mostert finished hot, but like, they went back to Coleman in the playoffs. And so, I mean, Mostert did get an incentive package. I just am not sure what that backfield is. And so there is a Raheem Mostert could come out and be like an RB1 or a top 15 anyway for the first half of the season.
Easy.
And then Kyle can get bored and be like, nah, we're going to give it to freaking Jeff Wilson for this, for these goal line carries.
Wilson!
Like that's, I wouldn't surprise me. You're going to get like, you could get half of a season as an RB1 and then you could have like RB3 value. So that's why Raheem's going where he's going. I don't know if I'll get him. I mean, maybe in the sixth. If David Montgomery's there, though, like I'm taking David. Like David Montgomery should not be going in the sixth round. He's going to be on the field every down.
Yeah. And the fact that Jonathan Taylor is going before David Montgomery from a ESPN ADP perspective is just smooth criminal right there, man. It is.
AJ Green's going in front of David Montgomery is being drafted behind Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt isn't even the starting running back on that team.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you other than that's just incorrect. I mean, this entire round is loaded from our standpoint. DJ Chark going 61.
Huge value at receiver
is great. Mark Ingram, obviously, you've talked about him. But I mean, DeAndre Swift going at 63. We've talked about how you should never own a Detroit Lions running back unless he's like round 9 or later. Devontae Park, like he's going before Devontae Parker.
I mean, DeAndre Swift is going ahead of Montgomery. Who do you think has a better year, DeAndre Swift or David Montgomery?
I mean, it's Montgomery Ward's, man. Give me David. Hopefully the Bears can figure out their stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of value here. Tom Brady should not be going in round 6. Don't take him there. I do. Like AJ Green and Tyler Boyd are going 3 picks apart. We've talked about them. I think they're both very serviceable with Joe Burrow as the quarterback there and kind of an up and coming offense, which, you know, Joe Mixon being better than we both thought that he was going to be last year. And I think he'll improve this year. So I do like the dynamics of that offense. And then Evan Ingram just randomly going in round 6, I think is just a little too early.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, and yeah, I mean, it could be a value there. I don't know, man. I mean, he hasn't stayed on the field as long as he's been in the league. And if I can get a 3-down running back there, yes. Or a wide receiver 1 guy, yes. Like, over a tight end.
I say you don't want to take like a defense, which is how the start of round 7 is going on ESPN's ADP.
Oh my God.
Two defenses are
Steelers
starting out
and
round
49ers
seven.
Are currently their current average draft position is the first 2 picks of the 7th round.
And the Bills are going like 6 picks later.
There's the 3 Bills defenses defense. Currently being drafted in the 7th round. Look at me, people. Eye contact. If you draft a defense in the 7th round, you are not going to make the fantasy football playoffs. Also, you're probably not watching this, so I guess I should also think about that fact that you're probably not even watching this right now. That's probably the people that are drafting. But that's neither here nor there.
At least take a kicker before you take a defense. Sorry.
Listen to our
Around 7, though.
Listen to our Stud Sacco Sleeper first edition to hear Alex talk about why he thinks kickers are studs and should be drafted 1 round ahead of the round 14.
Damn right.
Our values in the 7th round: Ronald Jones, Michael Gallup. Ronald Jones's ADP is not going to be in the 7th. At least it shouldn't after Bruce Arians' comments about how Ronald Jones is going to carry the load this year. Michael Gallup being drafted, we're currently at 78th overall in the middle of round 7. I mean, come on, man. He had the same stat line as Amari, and you can get him like five rounds later. Deebo Samuel, like, he's going to be great when he comes back. He's just on the pup, so you'll miss him for six games. Marquise Brown, also a value, could potentially outperform his current 77th overall ADP. Just needs to take a little second year step forward.
It should be noted that ESPN does have a kicker actually going in round seven. Justin Tucker and Harrison Butker are rounding out the end of round seven.
They're literally going right now 83rd and fourth overall, the last two picks of round seven. I bet, you know what it is? I bet the people,
it's got to be auto picking, right?
No, or I'm, yeah, I mean, I would hope that's what it is. I would hope it's the auto picking that's affecting the ADPs. Like, there's no,
yeah,
there's
so,
no
way. Somehow they're just like rounding out the roster and like, yeah. Oh, we haven't picked a kicker yet. And they just like default it. I don't, that's got to be what it is.
But goodness. Did you know that you can get Julian Edelman with the first pick in round eight? Guys, right,
people,
there's kickers.
People are taking kickers, yeah, before before Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that has to be an auto-drafting phenomenon. But anyways, I digress. Unreal. I mean, somebody else we think could outperform their round eight ADP is James White. Like, we don't know what's going on with Sony Michel. Potentially leads to more James White action. Wouldn't be surprised if he outperforms his current 96th overall ADP. Like,
yeah, it's same thing with Will Fuller too. Going in round eight.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know, we haven't even talked about Brandon Cooks, who's going later than a full round and a half later in ESPN's ADP. But like, if Will Fuller stays healthy for a year and is able to put it together, and is actually playing the same position that, or, you know, where plays are getting drawn up for him, similar to DeAndre Hopkins was. And, you do have a top five, top eight quarterback, just from a skill standpoint, not a fantasy quarterback, in Deshaun Watson. He's going to have to throw to somebody. It's going to be him or it's going to be Cooks. And getting those guys in rounds eight and nine, respectively, it's pretty good.
Absolutely. And a little bit more round nine value. If you punted on running back early and you need to add some depth, or you went wide receiver in the middle rounds and you're looking to add some running back depth, Jordan Howard, currently being drafted 101st overall, is absolutely going to outperform that. Like, that's crazy value. And then a couple other receivers besides Cooks are Sterling Shepard and Jamison Crowder, currently going in the ninth. In the 10th, we have Deontay Johnson. Like, the wide receiver two in the Pittsburgh offense is a stud, and Deontay Johnson happens to be good at football. So it's like already an above average position in terms of, you know, output and targets and all those things. And then you have a good receiver in a good position to succeed. I think Deontay Johnson is primed to vastly outperform his 110th overall ADP. And then a couple of running backs in Tevin Coleman and Lat Murray, we have ranked above where they're currently going in the middle of the 10th round. So,
yeah, because we think they both have individual value. One, because of the Shanahan factor, where Tevin Coleman might just randomly go off for a game. And Latavius Murray, you know, he was the goal line back for Kamara. And so if he's going to score five or six touchdowns, you know, there's 5 or 6 weeks that he's playable to have that standalone value. And so in round 10, like, if Kamara were to get banged up again this year for some reason, then like, he's the guy. I don't know if you really want to go into any of these other rounds or later. I just wanted to highlight again, Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, after 10.
Yeah, in round 12, I think Dalvin Cook's going to get hurt again. And when he does, you want Alexander Mattison just sitting rotissering on your bench, and he'll be nice and hot by the time you put him in, and he'll be delicious for you.
That's a nice little segue into a point that I wanted to make on Lat Murray. I think by my estimation, there's probably only four running backs that would have standalone RB1 value should the running back in front of them go down, and Alexander Mattison and Lat Murray are the other two. Who do you think the other, you know, backups are that would be RB1s other than Latavius Murray and Alexander Mattison? Who do you think I'm thinking of besides you always?
Thank you for that. I guess I'm not sure.
Tony Pollard.
Okay. Yeah.
If Zeke goes down.
He's shown that he can do it.
Well, it's not even that. It's the opportunity. Like, I don't think that their coaches would make them split carries. Like, I think they literally just assume the role and assume the workload and, you know, have 80% of or 90% of the output compared to what the studs put out.
Yeah. I know this is not who you're thinking of, but Duke Johnson would be one for me if David Johnson goes down.
Nope. Not who I'm thinking about.
You would love for Nick Chubb to go out so Kareem Hunt could be standalone value.
Okay, there's five then, because I was thinking of Edmonds for Arizona.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be, I mean, I'm just going down the round one, round two listing. I would also say that Justin Jackson would have standalone value if Austin Eckler were to get hurt in that offense. So you can potentially add him to the listing too.
Wonderful. Well, that is what 80 pleases us on in current ESPN draft values. We're going to be going through this for Yahoo, too. So anybody that's in a Yahoo league, stay tuned, because that's, I think, might be what's coming up next. And man, please don't draft a kicker and a defense back to back in the seventh and eighth rounds. Golly.
Love it. Dude, football's 3 weeks away. We're right there.
Let's celebrate. We're so close. Yeah, we got some newsy stuff to go through to prepare us for it. Let's get into it.
Newsy stuff.
It makes me smile every time.
Who's the voice? All right. Start from the top here. Alex Smith cleared to play football.
Oh,
I know. Hey, man, shout out to that guy for being determined to get all the way back to NFL shape after basically almost dying from sepsis because of having an absolutely destroyed leg.
I saw, like, one of my buddies sent me the video of that. And, like, if you pause it in the right spot,
I'm too squeamish.
It doesn't even look like. Like, there's no, how did he get cleared to play football?
I have no
idea. Why would he want, like, the dude's got a family. Like, just go enjoy living
life.
You
would think, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yes. I mean, the dude's, like, he was the former number one overall pick. The dude's got millions of dollars. And you're trying to come back and.
Hey, man, he's still paying taxes. Maybe his home has a pretty tax bill that he's got to pay. He needs some milk money.
Screw that.
My favorite thing that I have seen about him coming back, though, are literally the videos of him and Haskins, both under center in, like, you know, on air drills. They're just under center and one guy's throwing it out to the left and the other guy's throwing it out to the right, or the receivers are running the same, like, dig patterns and they're both throwing it to him. And literally, Alex Smith is just out there throwing freaking dimes to these receivers. Dwayne Haskins, 20 feet over all their heads. It is the funniest freaking video. I'll see if I can't put it out on the social medias, because we've talked about it here. But, man, I'm just thinking,
you're even higher on Terry if Alex Smith would somehow get named the starter there.
Yes, 1,000,000%. Yes, I think Alex Smith is a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins on one leg. Like, give him a crutch to roll around on or a wheelchair. I think he's still out there throwing more accurate balls than Dwayne Haskins.
Man, that is disrespectful for, like, a 6th overall pick.
Dude, I don't care. Dwayne Haskins, look at his freaking Twitter, Abby. Like, he's half tiger in his avatar. Come on, man. Meanwhile, in injury bug news, Davante Adams got tweaked, a scary fall yesterday in practice, got up, finished practice, however, did not practice today. So keep your eyeballs on that. And hello, Alan Lazard. If your boy can't perform early, what's up? Late round targets.
I was thinking about this in the shower yesterday after the news broke that
you were
Devontae
thinking
Adams
about
got
other
hurt.
Men in the shower.
And it
did
made
you
me
think
smile.
About me while you were showering?
No, I did not. But it made me smile just thinking about
maybe
the fact that the Packers have this like quarterback they're paying $30 million. And if Devontae Adams were to be out for an extended period of time, that the Packers could just play their draft picks that they got. So we could throw them the, oh wait, they didn't take any wide receivers. So literally they would have a $30 million quarterback just turning around and handing the ball off like 45 times a game.
You got Quadzilla. Maybe Love can get out there and run a route or two.
I was just like, rooting for Devontae Adams to be injured because I would love to see him get like 200 targets this year. Just because I think it'd be high hilarity. But if he were to be out for an extended period of time, like that off, like what's the point of even paying a quarterback? I think they would try to trade Aaron Rodgers. Honestly, like why even keep him?
Unless he can come back before the end of the year, like he did with his little turf toe shenanigans.
They wouldn't be in the playoffs if he's out.
Right. Well, they made it last year, but yes. No, yeah, if he's out, no way. And then we're seeing some soft tissue injuries. We got Tyreek pulled a hammy today.
That's bad.
Kind of foresaw this with the lack of preseason games and only having 14 padded practices. There's going to be some soft tissue stuff, I think, even in the first few weeks of the season. Like, guys aren't ready for what the demands are. So hopefully Tyreek's injury isn't very serious. And
that's like the one guy I feel like he had something wrong with his hamstring last year. It was a Monday night game in Mexico and he pulled his hammy and wasn't the same for a while. Like, so the fact that he already has a hamstring issue when he purely relies on speed is for me a definite red flag. Taking him early. As a matter of fact, I think it would actually impact the rankings and I would drop him to like fifth from a wide receiver spot and I would be staying away from him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Will Fuller is out there somewhere just thanking God every day that he doesn't have a hamstring injury. So I think we should have like a counter where it's like days since Will Fuller pulled a hamstring. We're coming out blazing. Newsy stuff is hot today. And then Miles Sanders went down. He is now week to week. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I don't know what it is. It could be precautionary. They're calling it what, like a lower body, lower leg injury. I mean,
what is this, hockey?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's hockey level info right there.
Lower leg injury week to week. So he's gonna not be around till like week six.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the Devontae Freeman memes that popped up after that injury was announced were just, oh, they were great. Like, go out and get Devontae. Miles is done. Yeah. Who knows? Wow. Who knows how bad it is? That's all I got for NFL related news. Did you know that there is a Tokyo baseball team? So the baseball teams in Tokyo can still not have fans. And let's see here. Oh, I don't have it anymore. I don't have the team name anymore. But there's a baseball team in Tokyo that
they have the best team names over there. Like their sports teams over there just are the best.
Oh, there it is. The Japanese baseball team. The Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks have come up with an imaginative way to replace fans, and that is dancing robots. They lined up 20 dancing robots. So they have these fans that do like this choreographed dance during the games. They literally programmed 20 robots to all stand next to each other and do this dance and during the middle of a baseball game. And it's freaking ridiculous. So I'll put a link to that in the description below. Thanks, Reuters, for that. And then coming right up on an hour here, probably just a little bit over. I think I want to sign off with Screw Tom Brenneman.
Tom Brenneman can suck it. Getting caught on the air, dropping the F-bomb that doesn't end in uck, is really bad. And
LGBTQ slur.
Yeah, and I always hated him as a play-by-play guy because he's like, oh, God, what a terrible throw by Mitch Trubisky. And he'd generally be calling Bears games because he was like the fourth-ranked broadcaster on Fox, which means he usually got the shitty teams, and that would usually be the Bears.
Low-quality broadcaster, low-quality person is what we've learned.
Yeah, he sucks. So goodbye to him. My favorite part was Nick Castellanos hit a home run as he was apologizing on air, and he still broke into, and that's going to be a home run. And the Reds are now up 4-0. And I'm really sorry to my bosses. I don't know if I'm ever going to put the headset on again. Yeah, you're not, dumbass. Like, it's over. See you later.
Oh man, thank you, Tom Brenneman. Oh man, see you later.
Hey, just real quick, as I'm sure we're wrapping this up, I typed in Tokyo sport team names into Google.
Yeah.
Do you want to do this real quick to see what I'm going to say here?
Yeah.
Tokyo sport team names.
Yeah.
There's a baseball team named Tokyo Yakult Swallows.
Man, we're transitioning to the social media page on that note. Thank you, Alex. Yikes. Well, if you found any value in our 80 Please Me segment, please go ahead, like, subscribe on any platform. If you're on YouTube right now, please hit the bell. You know, if you're on Apple, I will assist you. If you give us an Apple review with anything fantasy football, we're also extremely responsive on all social media platforms. We basically respond to any comment made to us anywhere.
Please
just give me love. Anyways, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Football Sackos podcast. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter @ the FF Sackos.